This is a Collider.com audio interview.
So do you just see flashing lights when you close your eyes at night? Do you just see blinking?
Like for months now, yes. Yeah. On this set especially, and our dream sequence was worse than this. We had this whole dream sequence going on with flashing lights and strobes and disco. It was a whole disco moment.
We noticed actually on the press laminate there's a little bit of
lens flare
on even just the press badge. So we were curious, and we did see some flashlights aimed at the camera, a la Star Trek, J.J. Abrams. How much is lens flare? How are you capturing your futuristic look?
Oh, in many ways. I mean, lens flare is a small detail of it actually helps, and I've seen this now, looking at it now, which I didn't actually create that, but it sometimes can make a really grungy environment feel slightly futuristic. You know, so if you're in a lot of our New Asia environment and some of our more, I guess, seedy environments, a little bit of a lens flare gives it a bit of a modern feel. So some of that is, and it works well for visual effects and such. You can hide a lot.
The first movie is very much an Arnold movie, and this one seems to be more of an ensemble. Like all these other characters seem to have much bigger roles. Was that kind of something that you guys kind of attacked from day one, that you wanted to make this a bigger kind of a project instead of just focusing on Quaid?
Not necessarily like with a goal of it being like a bigger project in terms of like the character regard. I mean, a lot of characters are there.
I do think it was a conscious choice for the Laurie character to kind of incorporate the real estate that the Richter character occupied in the original film, so that we could have a more kind of central character who really goes through the whole movie from beginning to end as a villain.
The 90s film felt there's a lot of societal issues they struggled with, even though it's also an action film, like class warfare. And, I mean, what societal issues are you guys attacking in this movie, if you are?
I mean, I think it's similar but more grounded in that I guess we can say we don't go to Mars,
mm-hmm,
in this film. So we're dealing with a more relatable class issue of haves and have-nots, of workers and the sort of wealthy class, and that's the kind of dynamic that we're into, a kind of classic, you know, working class people against the wealthy who control the real estate and want to control the real estate of the planet.
And just the propaganda machine, which is, you know, it's kind of always current.
We've seen, like, the troops for, like, the rich people's troops. Are we going to see, like, the rebellion? Are we going to see the people of New Asia rise up and come together, or is...
There's the resistance, mm-hmm, and then also these federal police, and the federal police are also, they patrol and are active in New Asia, but yes, there's a resistance group that has their whole force.
One of the things about the Total Recall is the fact that you're not really, you can debate amongst yourselves, like, is it real? Is it, you know, in his head? How much are you guys playing that line of, you know what I mean? And also, not to be specific about the ending, but are you guys sort of, how are you, like, going to present it ultimately for the audience? Are people going to walk out of the theater, you know, not knowing what actually happened?
I think there'll be, I guess I can only take it from how I would leave a movie like this. I would, there's going to be a lot of speculation, and so I would think that people are, I would hope, some people are going to absolutely think one way. Others are going to think, because of certain details that I'm putting in there, that they may think the other. So it is something that I love the continued conversation about.
I think it's great fun for the audience to be able to argue about what their version of the movie was when they go home afterwards or go out to dinner or whatever.
How much influence did the original Philip K. Dick story have in kind of reimagining the old
movie? I mean,
that's
where it really, for me, that's where it really started. I mean, we read this, the impetus to do it was based on picking up the short story, reading it, and saying, wow, this would be really great to do this, and that started a chain of events of trying to figure out who had the rights and how could we get them, and And when we started with Kurt Wimmer, it was really about the story. And actually, we sort of came to the movie secondarily because there is a great structure to that screenplay. But as you can see from what you've seen today, it's the world creation and the tone is really completely different from that earlier right. film.
Do you think there are elements of that story that have carried over here that weren't present in the original movie, or elements from the story?
I think on a character level more so, yeah, absolutely. I think the characters are truer to the story.
I mean, speaking of Kurt, like I noticed that in that fight scene we saw with the swivel cameras or whatever, mm-hmm. like, it seemed like there was a little bit of some Gunk Attack kind of worked in there from Kurt's earlier movies, like Equilibrium. Like, did you guys kind of consult with him for some of the fighting style on this?
I mean, there's not really any. I mean, that was a very specific.
That was really a Len. Yeah. That was a Len design.
Yeah, there was no. I mean, he's shooting guys, but I really liked what Kurt did with that. It was more of like shooting and actually using it as a weapon, almost yeah. like a punch. But no, this was a completely. It was also something that I'd wanted to put together just to see if it could actually work as an emotion of going through a whole experience of this guy able to he has this ability, but we never really take a breath until it's over. And how we accomplish that with all the tools that we have, and that's really where it came from.
Why New Asia? Why not New Rhineland or New Deutschland or New Africa?
We didn't have this conversation before. Maybe I would have. I don't know.
Well, I mean, is there world building outside? I mean, we have the UFB, we have New Asia. Will we hear about other parts of the world, or just on the two sides of the shaft, so to speak?
It really deals with two sides, because a lot of the rest of the world is uninhabitable. So
there is some reference to what happened and to the rest of the world, but that's it's a kind of fun reveal in the movie.
Have you guys thought about, from a producer angle, like tie-in comics or something as a prequel to get into some of the world building or any of that stuff?
We haven't really gotten there quite yet.
Right. Too busy shooting.
I am curious. I mean, you obviously, as you mentioned, you're building a whole new world here. How difficult is it handling the exposition?
It's always tricky because you want to have it come across naturally, and there's obviously a lot that has to be told. I think that the script does a really good job at that, and it's a combination of script and then visually how you actually sell a lot of those ideas that hopefully you don't have to talk through all of them and you can show them.
Kind of piggybacking off all this talk about building this new world and something that's very unique and has a lot of information to go along with it. Is this version of Total Recall a succinct adventure story that has a definitive end, or is there a possibility for other stories with this, whereas the first movie was obviously, that was the end. Mm-hmm. I don't know if there's more possibilities of other films, or is that...
I've always thought from the original story that there definitely is, because of the nature of what this is. You know, this is the movie Total Recall, Recall itself. It's offering an experience, a journey, whether it be Mars, whether it be whatever the location is. I think the nature of what the overall cool concept is, does allow for that kind of thing. We haven't necessarily given it thought.
Does
but in
the
terms
script
of,
allow for that? Does this movie allow?
Not overtly,
right?
It's not like we end with a tee up. Because we really just want to make a good movie, and we're totally hoping that it ends with a feeling of great, satisfaction, and posing a question, which is, you as an audience member, what do you want to believe this movie is? You know, did it really happen, or didn't it really happen? And that's what we want to get to, because I think that's what's fun for the audience, to give them a really satisfying experience and something to talk about. And then, hopefully it works, and then we can sort of figure out where to from here.
Everything we've seen today, it's definitely, this is its own beast, this film, as a reimagining. But with a beloved film like this, there is always, diehard fans. And I'm wondering how you feel about the concept of fan service. Do you feel obligated to include an Easter egg that maybe people who love the original version will get? Or are you worried that might take people out of the movie? Is this something that you've dealt with? And not to give away spoilers, but is this something that is on your mind?
it's on my mind, but it's on my mind in a way that I'm one. I don't think you can stress about it too much, because some people will always be disappointed. And I think it's inherent with any kind of new adaptation or a remake or what that there's going to be people that that are you know they love the original, mm-hmm. and there's always going to be an element to that, but. Because I'm a fan of the original, mm-hmm. I really just go from what from my own perspective, I guess, in terms of that. So there are things in there that coming from a like the 16-year-old experience of it that I wanted to carry through. But I really just approach it from being a fan myself, and mm-hmm. you just do the best that you can do.
We saw when you guys were filming in there, Kate with her the hand phone, mm-hmm. And we've obviously spoken to some of the actors talking about some of the future stuff. Could you both talk about what you're excited for audience to see like 150 years in the future?
I mean, there's so much,
there's a ton of great stuff.
So much great stuff. I mean, there's a lot of new just technologies and advancements and toys and just like you saw it in the little bit of what we showed with the kind of the shrapnel cameras and devices. I'm always trying to think up new stuff that you haven't seen in other places, just because it's the future. You're expecting to see some really fun, cool gadgets and things, and we've got quite a lot of them going on.
There's the whole transportation system, and just the whole concept of in the future. In a lot of futuristic movies, you see a completely reimagined world that doesn't look anything like our world today. And I think one of the great takes that Len brought to it is, as the world changes, there's still a baseline of our reality today. Just like if you go to, an old city, you'll see buildings that have been there for hundreds and hundreds of years next to a modern skyscraper. So the idea that you can see the 20th century world on one level and the 23rd century world or 24th century world above it, and that it's, you can almost see history as you travel down in a city that's built upon a city is a really cool concept.
Yeah, and something that's never really made sense to me in terms of if you go 100 years in the future, that they don't just get rid of everything that we have and put it in a big, large world storage. That things are, it's going to exist, and so it's like Toby's saying, like it's built
in layers.
There's
still cobblestone streets in every city you go into. Even though we have freeways.
So our a base level is still, it's still relatively familiar. You look at, like you're saying, buildings have been around. So going with that theory to create the world, so it has a realism to it.
Did you guys come up with a final year that this movie takes place?
We don't have a year.
We've never really pinned it down.
A century.
In the future.
Yeah. We sort of talk about 100 years in the future. I mean, when you think about, it's really, for me, it's really driven by the idea of the elevator through the core of the Earth. I mean, that's not like something that's going to happen in 50 years. Maybe it's something that happens in 100 years in my own head.
And in how built out the world is and how long it actually takes to. This is, it's no longer a world where it's having to expand. They've expanded already. So it's about building on top and above and stacked and how long that would actually take, and that kind of informs a general sense of how far in the future we are, but with no number tagged on it.
And the last question is,
You guys are really grounding this in you're trying to ground this in reality, but I'm curious, how are you guys making way for humor, because a lot of the original had a lot of great classic one-liners and humors in it. Are you making an effort for that? Are you including zingers and whatnot?
Yeah, I mean, I think in terms of, to me, grounded and real doesn't mean not humor. I mean, I've, in real life there's humor, so it's, I think grounded does not mean no fun. It just means that it's not played for, tongue-in-cheek.
Yeah, and I think one of the big draws for us to have Colin Farrell in the movie is that he is a very grounded, real actor and sort of brings his own kind of unique kind of energy and attitude. And he's, if you've seen some of his movies, he can be a very funny guy, but he's always doing it from a real place of character and sort of honesty for that character. So he's bringing humor to it, but in a way I think that feels more real than like zingers and one-liners kind of thing.
Is this PG-13?
Yes.
Did you keep any classic one-liners in this?
Do you know, and it's not necessarily keep. There's spins on some of the ones that I remember when when I first saw it. So we have our different twist on stuff. Yeah, I didn't want to repeat anything that Verhoeven has done. I don't want to.
Yeah, there are a few when you were asking the question about keeping things from the original. They're just, as fans, there are just little references here and there that if you've seen the movie, you'll say, "Oh, I know where that comes from." You know, the way you turn a line around into just a new version of it, or that sort of thing.
See what the party
director? There's not even one you want to share with us. Tiny tape.
He just looks excited. He's got 5 kids to feed.
He's got 5 kids to feed.
They do call for him on the set.
Oh.
Yeah, we got to wrap this up.
Tonight. Johnny Cab, though, is in the movie?
Johnny Cab. No Johnny Cab. No. I think we've got to save some of them. We've got some. I've said a few too many.
I'll leave you be.